Dear friends, we're going to take a look at that picture that started, the painting that started our program there, and we're going to leave that up, please, for my message here tonight. A very famous painting, maybe some people would say one of the most famous paintings in the history of planet Earth. You know who painted it, I think. Leonardo da Vinci. It took da Vinci 3 years to paint The Last Supper. Isn't that incredible? His contemporaries in the late 15th century, this was painted in 1495 to 1498, in those 3 years. His contemporaries would say that it's a masterpiece because he captured the facial expressions of the disciples and of Jesus. No other paintings really did it quite like this in the late 15th century. It's a massive work. It sits in the city of Milan. Think about the size. It's 15 feet in height and 29 feet in length. That's huge. It was commissioned by the Duke of Milan, who wanted Leonardo da Vinci to capture what it meant to be there on the night of the Last Supper. And so, as I said earlier, da Vinci took 3 years to do this. What's interesting is that if you look at the painting, he had one thing clearly in mind, and may this be true for us. He had Jesus at the center of the painting. Do you see it? Now, I know a little bit about mathematics. There are 12 disciples. Notice the grouping of the disciples. Three on the far left. There's three over there. There's three grouped together right to the left of Jesus, right to the right of Jesus, I should say. And then three to the left of Jesus close by, and then three to the right. It was ingenious. It was a way for Leonardo da Vinci to capture people's attention and put it on Jesus. Isn't that incredible? That's what it does. The story's told, and I think it's true, that when da Vinci finished this painting, he approached a friend and said, "Can I get some honest feedback on this painting? Can you give me some critique?" And the friend said this, "It's wonderful. I can't take my eyes off of the chalice right below Jesus." Now some of you are looking, there's no chalice. That's because da Vinci was offended. He said that nothing should take our vision off of Jesus. He pulled out his paintbrush and covered over the chalice. It doesn't exist. Dear friends, on an evening like this, we can easily be distracted with all that's happening, and we can miss what Jesus is up to. This night is usually, there's so much that happened on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, and it's the betrayal that gets a lot of the publicity and press. Judas was a part of that. We read about that just a little bit ago, and it didn't catch Jesus by surprise. He knew Judas was going to do this. Judas was there at the arrest of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane we talked about a few weeks ago. Imagine that, 700 people were there with weapons and torches, and Judas was leading the way. And Judas entered into the Garden of Gethsemane and kissed Jesus on the cheek. Now we know from Matthew's Gospel, some more detail about this painting, we know from Matthew's Gospel that Judas was close enough to Jesus at the table that they could have a private conversation. And they probably did. And that conversation is not recorded in the Gospels. No one on planet Earth knows what they talked about. Who knows? But there's one detail that I want to point out on that painting. You may not be able to see it. You can't see it. This is Dan found a really good souped up rendition of the painting that you can actually see. The original is hard to see. The paint's faded. But if you look down by Judas's elbow, there's a salt shaker. Why a salt shaker? That's spilled. Jesus would say, "You are the salt of the earth." Judas had lost his saltiness in greed. Another interesting detail about this painting is that da Vinci put a certain kind of fish on the plates. Down below on the table, it's known in Italy as herring. We know it as herring, but there is a word for this, the Italian dialect, that's called ranga. Say ranga. So go ahead and say it. Ranga, I don't know if that's how you say it in Italian. Ranga, from what I understand, that's what's on the plates. Ranga was a slang term for people that hated religion. So what Leonardo da Vinci was actually doing in this painting was saying that it wasn't just Judas that betrayed Jesus, but it was all the disciples. They didn't stand by his side. They abandoned Jesus. Now for a personal question tonight. If Leonardo da Vinci painted you into that painting, what item would he have down by your elbow? What would it be? Salt shaker, maybe? Maybe one of these. To modernize the painting, why not? We spend a lot of time on these, don't we? They say that the modern person spends 6 hours and 58 minutes on some sort of screen. The average American, 7 hours and 4 minutes. Generation Z, 9 hours. Baby boomers, 4 hours. What's something else that might be underneath your table? Maybe it's a watch. For all the time in which we've missed opportunities, for all the times in life in which our dreams were not fulfilled, all those times in which we were told that we maybe don't belong, all those times in which we missed a season in life to be with a loved one. Maybe it's a mirror. For all the time that we spend looking at ourselves and obsessed with what we want and not really able to see the needs and hurts of others. Whatever it may be, and this is good news for us tonight, the very best news. If it's a salt shaker, if it's a iPhone, if it's a mirror or a broken watch, or if it's Ranga, God would want us to know that he would want to do the same thing that Da Vinci did with his friend. That is to take out a paintbrush and cover it up, wipe it away. That's what God wants to do for our sins. Wipe it away and take it away forever and get our focus on Jesus. He's the center. Jesus is the center in the communication of this supper, Last Supper, the supper that we share at Peace Lutheran Church. It's a sacrament. This is the night when it was instituted. And this is what's communicated. God and his son Jesus never will give up on you. You may give up on God. God will never give up on you. When the soldiers spat on Jesus, Jesus never gave up. When the soldiers took the whips and hit him in the back and made major lacerations into his muscles, he never gave up. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and bled and sweat blood in his pain and agony, he never gave up. He never gave up. No matter how often we betray or get distracted, Jesus, he loves you, and he will never give up. When we go out to a restaurant, a common question by the hostess is how many are in our party? And wouldn't it be a funny thing if we went to a restaurant and said, I don't know. And the hostess kept saying, well, how many are coming to dinner tonight? And we kept on saying, I don't know how many. That would be an odd circumstance. Well, tonight at Holy Communion, what we can share with clarity is that there's two in the party. Jesus is there with you, communicating that he will never give up on you. Martin Luther in his writings said there were two really critical moments in a church service. And I hesitate in mentioning this, but it's just true. He said, the sermon and the Lord's Supper. Luther would write, which one is more important? The Lord's Supper. Guess why? Because that is the clearest way that God picks a moment to speak definitively to that sheep that he loves, to communicate that he never gives up on you. Perhaps you know this with this painting, that the original is actually deteriorating quite badly. Maybe you've known that. Da Vinci used in the late 15th century a material that no one else had ever used. Instead of using a wet plaster, Da Vinci used a dry plaster. That was helpful because it did show facial expressions in more detail. But the negative of that is that paint, that plaster, was not sustainable. So experts still to this day spend hours upon hours to restore this painting to its original form. Isn't that fitting? Because you know what? We're people that go to the Lord's Supper. And just like that painting, we need restoration over and over and over again. And the Lord does that by coming to us, giving us His body, His blood. You are loved. We don't gather here tonight as we think about how many are in our party as we go to the supper. We don't gather here tonight to honor or remember a dead person. We're not here to say in remembrance. Lutherans don't do that. That would be silly. And we don't gather to celebrate a historical meal like the Seder meal, as good as that is. No, Lutherans do this. We gather to meet a living person that loves us, that will never give up on us. Receive that message tonight as you come forward and share this meal in which Jesus is here and He meets you personally. Amen. We're going to prepare tonight for that meal. There aren't prayers, but we're going to go right into it. And I'm going to prepare the elements, and then we'll have the preface. You know, you may want to open up your bulletin as we share that together.